up on green
She's
tea.
She's hopped up on green tea. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Ghosts to Show You. I'm Lillian.
I'm Emily. And we have guests today on our podcast.
It's true. Two amazing guests. They're bringing some legitimacy for the first time to our podcast.
For the very first time. I know that this is what you guys have been wanting from us.
Yeah.
Just someone to sort of validate, you know, what we're doing here. And so I present to you Greg Newkirk and Dana Matthews. They are a husband and wife paranormal investigative team. They have a traveling museum of the paranormal and the occult. The only one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The only one that we recognize here on this podcast.
It's true.
Officially. Please welcome them to the podcast.
Yay.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
Yay. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here. We're so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
We're very excited to have you.
Yeah. How are you guys doing in this COVID time?
Horrible.
Yeah.
How's anybody doing? It's terrible.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
We're bored. We're tired. We're angry. We're sad.
Ornery.
We're taking a lot of angry naps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of angry naps. We kind of do naturally. The shuffling around to different rooms of your house for extended periods of time. Like, maybe this room will make me feel better. No, it doesn't happen.
Nope, it's still me in this room.
Yep, exactly.
My depression followed me here.
It came right along with me.
It's good to know that that's happening across all sort of, like, dimensions, you know what I mean? Like, both in the spirit world, you know, with y'all and with us, too. So it's
comforting.
You know, makes me feel better. Yeah.
Everyone's miserable. It's the one unifying thing about this pandemic is that everyone's miserable.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. It brings us together. So y'all have been doing this for, like, ever. You've been in the paranormal world for so long. You guys are stars. You're on, like, all the ghost shows. You're on, you know, it's, like, it's incredible, truly. But I was wondering, because you guys both have, like, I mean, a unique start. You guys were both, like, teen ghost explorers, which is, like, really just the cutest thing. I love it.
Yeah, aspirational, frankly.
Yeah, if I could go back, you know.
If I could go back,
if
I'd change the whole trajectory of my life.
But we were wondering what was, like, the first thing you remember as, like, a young person that was, like, this was the
dipping
moment
your toes kind of into the paranormal space,
something you saw or something that you were like, whoa, like, this is what I want to do, or I believe this now, or whatever.
I think for me, it probably, I mean, it's kind of a trope, but growing up in a house that had really weird things happening in it, and it was nothing necessarily super scary, but it was enough, you know, at one point in time, we would have dishes kind of coming, like, appearing out of cupboards, and kind of a lot of, like, very kind of horror movie trope stuff, but It wasn't really until my sister and I decided we were going to actually investigate what was going on in our house, and we were actually able to document some of it, where we really looked at each other and were like, ghosts are actually real. Like, this is a real thing that's happening here. So it's kind of a bit of a cliche, but it was really just really weird things happening in the house that my sister and I particularly grew up in.
I didn't have that experience at all. I don't have like the origin story.
Yeah.
Me and my friends took one of my friends out to a cemetery, had all of our older friends and older brothers hide in the cemetery because we were going to scare the shit out of them.
Oh.
And we had so much fun. We said, let's go to a cemetery without anybody hiding in it.
Yeah. We had so much fun terrifying our friend, just being 80s like horror movie villains.
What's so funny is I can date it so perfectly, because the traps and all the stuff that our friends were hiding from the trees, like our older brothers were, they were the Blair Witch triangles hanging from the trees.
Right. So it was right when that movie came out.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right around then. Scared the shit out of our friend, and then went to a big cemetery in the middle of the mountains, an old mining cemetery. And when we started to get, like, touched and hit with little pieces of coal, that's when we went, holy shit, there's something to this.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, school library, reading Hans Holzer and Ed and Lorraine Warren and all that kind of stuff. And then that was it.
That was in your school library?
I know.
Warren?
Well, I mean, Ed and Lorraine Warren are pretty hardcore Catholic, and I grew up in a very small town.
Those were the safe ghost hunting books for
Well,
rural
yeah, because
men.
All the ghosts were demons. They were
right,
always
all right.
Demons.
Right.
Yep.
They're yeah. like, your sexual urges, demons. Ghosts, also demons. Yeah. Short skirts, demons.
Dungeons
Stay
and Dragons,
from all of them.
Demons.
I think
demons.
Yoga Tiny is also demons. Demonic.
No, there's literally, I reread it's Ed awful. Lorraine's first book, like, you know, maybe 5 years ago. For the first time since I was a kid, and was appalled because it's like one of the cases was this family got a demon because they adopted a kid from India.
Yeah, no. It's horrifying.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. It's so yeah. bad.
So the true demon was racism the whole time.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
True. Harder to exercise, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. So Ed and Lorraine Warren, not a... We're not holding them up on a pinnacle. We're not...
Oh, dear God, no. We get compared to them a lot, but we're always like, we're unreligious, pagan...
Yeah,
like, right, right.
Non-racist. Well, yeah, no.
Also, wasn't there... I mean, we don't have to get into it, but wasn't there also some, like, pretty fucked up, like, sexual...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that... there was some fucked up stuff
what?
That we did, so...
Oh, I feel that we should get into it. Well, why don't you just...
Oh, let's really get into it. Dish. I love talking about this. Okay. So, allegedly...
That's weird.
Yes.
Let's put that in there. Allegedly... there's a great Hollywood Reporter article that I would highly recommend people go seek out. And it's all about a big lawsuit that happened between the production companies and the book publishers and who held the rights and all that kind of stuff. But it alleges that Ed was having a relationship with a 15-year-old girl he drove the school bus for. And then ended up moving in with him and Lorraine. And it's like, even so you have that weird part about it.
Jesus.
And then there was another thing where I remember growing up before Ed died, there was this legendary story about this piece of videotape Ed had with the lady, the white lady of Union Cemetery
yeah, it was
in Connecticut.
Kinda, yeah.
And you could see her walk across the field. And in this article, she talks about how she was actually the white lady in the video. And he was like, oh, we're just going to show people what it looked like. And then he started showing people the video as if it was the real footage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all kinds of stuff like that. It was pretty gnarly.
Some it's shady, like a two-prong of, yeah, horrible things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't think they were terribly great people. And I think...
But what a hustle. What a hustle.
God, yeah, I guess. Jeez.
I'm like, I respect the hustle. Everything else, not so much.
No.
But,
you gotta no. respect you know, the hustle. You know, you got
the
to.
Rise and grind.
As a hustler myself, I respect.
I mean, they basically were part of the start of the Satanic Panic, too. Mm-hmm. They were, they,
right.
I mean, they because of the stuff that they did and said, a lot of people, innocent people, went to jail and had their lives ruined. So,
yeah.
Yikes.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Feels like that's coming back.
For sure.
But
me,
we, yeah, yeah we, again, yikes. Don't
again,
yes. I don't even want to. Yeah.
Well, I want to backtrack. First of all, I want to say congratulations on your PhenomenaCon that
hey,
you just
thank
put on
you.
This past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I told Lillian this. I was like, I want to watch some of this, and I was free on Saturday night, so I like sat down to watch. It was Adam Berry who
yeah.
I was watching, and it was really fun. And then I took a hit of weed, which is not something I really do, and then I got way too high. Like literally, I couldn't even because I was. You know, texting with Lillian and I just all of a sudden I was like, I don't like that people can see that I'm here and I have to go. I just got like way too high and I couldn't keep watching. And I was really bummed about it because I was just like, I can't handle like being live in a space right now with people digitally.
Yep. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's fine.
It's a lot. It can definitely be a lot. And the thing is, Adam also, I feel like he's such a high energy person that I think if I was high, I'd be very overwhelmed just by him in general. I feel like he would spiral me. I'd be like, oh, God, I can't handle this. But it is. There's so many people just chatting and talking to each other that it
yeah.
can be like, it's just overload a lot of the
it
time.
It was like your classic high paranoia where I was like, they can see me. And I was like, am I supposed to say something? Should I lay back in the cut? I don't know. And I just signed off the internet.
Yeah,
and I was like, and I also told my husband, I was like, I'm too high, so please don't. Talk to me right now. bad.
Like, everyone here is a psychic. I have to log off.
Yeah.
A lot of the topics discussed too are not good ones for when you're high, because it's all about how like time actually works in reverse.
It's a lot.
Or how like your thinking, your brain can affect the universe and cause your own hauntings. Yeah. Not a good thing to
it's
be
all
high.
Aliens and abduction, and that would definitely spiral anybody, I think. That's when it's time for an angry nap. When you just get too high, you gotta take an angry nap.
I'm sad that I did that to myself, that I deprived myself of being able to sit and watch and participate. How did it go for you guys? You know how it went for me. How did it go for you?
It was
amazing.
It was great. It was the second one we've done, and it really was, it was just born out of, you know, we have a traveling museum. So this whole year, we were supposed to be traveling all across the country, to England. You know, we were supposed to be going everywhere. And, I mean, obviously, we just watched one by one all of that stuff get shut down.
Yeah.
And then we watched our friends who lecture at these things get, their events were shut down. And so we wanted to do something to, number one, to keep us from being too bored. And number two, to give people the experience of going to these conferences. And, you know, it was a good opportunity for us to go, who are the people that influence us and influence the way that we investigate and the things that we think about, and gather all those people up and put them in front of all the people that follow us. So this time was really fantastic. We had screenings and musical performances and all kinds of stuff. It was great.
So cool.
Yeah. Ugh, I really wish that I had gotten to watch more of it, but I hadn't
effed
myself in the A.
Well, let's see.
We'll do it again.
Exactly.
No, please, because it was really fun. And before I got high, when I was watching Adam, I was really enjoying it. And so I do want to touch on something which he brought up, which was drama within the ghost community.
How much time you got?
I would love to hear anything that you want to dish, but I was like, what is the root of this drama? Is it personalities? Is it like, ghost approach? Is it beliefs? Like,
where's the beef come from? You know, essentially,
where is the beef?
Where's the beef?
You can kind of come at it from a lot of different angles, but I think the main root of it really is that when it comes to like paranormal investigation and that community itself, there's no rules. So everyone can, you know, a lot of people bring their egos into it, obviously, like in any kind of community, and a lot of people bring their religious bias into it or their political bias into it. And so you get all of these different types of people who are bringing all that stuff with them into a space where it's like just a free for all. And it tends to create a lot of drama because, again, you've got so many different kinds of people all trying to come to the same conclusion, or at least try to gather some sort of information about something that we literally know nothing about. It's just craziness. So you do get, what ends up happening usually is you get a lot of very big personalities and very big egos who kind of come into the space and start really speaking in absolutes, and they love to gather, you know, people around them so that they can try to be the guy who knows the most about the thing we don't know anything about. It just inevitably ends up happening.
I think Dana hit the nail on the head. It's a very frustrating community to be part of, because I think it goes against a lot of people's best interest to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
it's weird.
This is a community where really, if you're being honest, all you can say is, I have a good guess.
Yeah.
You know, I have a good guess based on my personal experiences and maybe the experiences of people smarter than me. And it's very hard for a lot of people to do that. And I think you've seen for the last 10, 20 years, the paranormal community, whether it's, you know, people who hunt Bigfoot or people who investigate extraterrestrial life or people who, you know, investigate ghosts, whatever, psychic phenomena, that community has been dictated by what people see on TV. What people see on TV is just not real, because it's just, you know, you don't find stuff that often. It's just producers saying, do this, whatever. And so you've got a bunch of people who look really good on TV and who are very charismatic and who are very good at what their job is, which is being entertaining. And those people get a ton of attention. And then you've got a bunch of people who are just a bunch of dorks who are sitting at home doing the real work, doing the real research, amazing work, writing books, doing actual lab work. And they get frustrated because no one's paying attention to them. Yeah. And so I think with all communities, there's just no middle road anymore.
Right.
There's no one trying to like merge the two of those things. And
right. There's no nuance, literally.
No,
at all.
Exactly. No. Especially in a community where everything is based on something that no one can find.
Right.
There's no nuance. It's either dead people or demons.
Or demons.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like it needs to be maybe a Revenge of the Nerd situation in this case. You know, let them rise up, you know?
Yeah.
It's happening.
That's what... yeah.
It's happening.
It's starting to.
The internet is changing the game. Self-publishing is changing the game. And, like, I know a lot of people who are making their own content.
Yeah.
You know, like, Hellier's a great example of this. Mm-hmm. Hellier'd have no chance on TV.
Yeah, your show. Yep.
Yeah.
It'd have no chance on TV. But because... And we tried, trust me. Yeah. We had a lot of really hilarious pitch meetings that were terrible.
I think the pitch meetings themselves were like a great example of why that kind of content probably would never make it on TV. And it was usually because it would be us, the nerds, sitting in a group with producers saying like, okay, but we're definitely going to have some goblins in here. So we're going to have to like, and so it was like this beautiful eye-opening experience where we're like, okay, this is why it's important to self-create and create content. And then support other people's content in these spaces if it doesn't kind of fit in that little box of like
right
television.
It's a very narrow
kind of
box that these people are looking for, and they want to sensationalize
exactly.
it and
exactly yeah.
It's also yeah. like the kind of person who's drawn to be like the star of like a ghost hunting show is like a very specific kind of person.
It really,
no
really
shame.
Is it
really no, and this is me saying you don't have to say anything at all, but it's like that's like a cop personality, a person who needs like control. It's like
sure
you can totally see why.
Often that's... a macho personality, right?
Yeah.
Wide pants, tight shirts.
Yes,
tiny
a lot
t-shirts.
Of tight shirts.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, maybe I could get into it. I don't know. What I'm saying.
Based on your shirts alone, Lillian. Yes.
Maybe
I would
I'm
say
ready.
Go for
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm ready. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun.
And before we move away from this, can you dish it all? You don't have to name names. You don't have to if you don't want to. But
oh, I want.
I just,
to.
You know, we're looking for, you know, we're in a pandemic. I need any type of salacious gossip.
Yeah. Blind items, even.
Blind items, yep.
Ooh. Dana's going to sit here and squeeze my leg to make me stop talking. There's, no. There's so much
Dana,
good
Dana, I think somebody wants you in the
know.
Other room. I think maybe there's...
We got to go.
I heard someone call your name out there. Could be... Might want to investigate that. Just kidding.
I mean, there's we could dish on tons of behind the scenes stuff on.
I'm trying to think of like a really good one,
a
though.
Real juicy one.
Yeah,
the while producer stuff's interesting. Yeah.
So while while you're thinking about something, I'll tell them about the last person who tried to cast.
That's
for
exactly
a show. That's
this
a good
is perfect.
One.
This is perfect.
So there's a very big show, and I need to get this out of the way right away. The reason that we don't do a ton of people's shows in this community.
Yeah.
Like, we do Kindred Spirits mm-hmm. because we know that the people who are on the show, they're the executive producers.
Yeah.
So,
right.
We've been there when they've said, like, no to things.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow us to do what we do without interfering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge thing. You don't find a lot of that.
Yeah.
There was another show.
This is so good.
That tried to get us to come and do an episode with them, 2 months ago?
Yeah, maybe 2 months ago.
And we were recommended by a producer that we had worked with before, who's a friend of ours, who's a great guy, but he's like he's a Hollywood producer. So yeah. It's very like he's very slick.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. That's the sound of his energy.
A lot of finger guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So to give you an idea, this is the part that I love the best. Should I tell him about when we saw him pop up?
Sure.
There was another show that tried to get us several years ago. It's not on the air anymore. And they they tried so hard, and he was a showrunner. And we were like, no, we don't really feel good about it. We don't really trust the people who are on the show. We don't really want to be associated, yada, yada. And they're like, okay, that's fine. And then later, when the show aired, we were watching it, and we wanted to see our friend, who's the showrunner,
yeah.
is actually, like, one of the witnesses.
I think they actually put, like, townsfolk underneath
oh,
it.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Who had it's like, I have lived here my whole
hauntings.
Life, and I've had all
and
of these
right.
experiences.
The best part is, like, the only thing they did to him was put glasses on him.
It was like they might as well put, like, a fake mustache on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, like the Groucho Marx, yeah.
Yes.
That it was so funny.
So it was this person specifically.
So this
who...
person recommended us for this show. It's a big show with mm-hmm. a big name attached to it. And we said, I don't know, but he's our friend. Like, we'll hear him out. So we had this call with the producer. And it was a very iconic location. that people are always dying to go. We're dying to go to it.
It could have been amazing.
Could have been great. And he just preceded the showrunner.
So cringy.
I think because our friend recommended us, he thought we were actors. And so he just ran us through the entire storyline and everything we were going to say and how we're going to find out it's not this iconic ghost. It's the ghost of Miguel who died in this other place. And
And he's like, then at some point, maybe Dana will feel like there's something over here. So then we could have another ghost pop up over. And Greg and I, like, we didn't speak through. We just looked, like, staring at each other. So like,
the best part was,
is this happening right now? Is this actually happening?
He runs through the whole entire show. And then it's just this, you could hear a pin drop. And he's like, you guys still there?
Oh.
We went, like, yes.
Yeah.
But we are not actors.
Yeah.
This is something we take very seriously, and we're not going to do that.
Yeah, we were.
And we could tell, like, we could hear.
He just wanted to
put
it all
back.
He got
so nervous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got three or four apology emails about how, like, oh, that's not really what he meant, yada, yada. And then,
right.
Of course, the network decided to move on.
Go in a different direction.
Naturally.
And we were like, oh, God.
Very common, though. Yeah. Very, very, very common.
Yeah, I figured, but, like, that's very... And I didn't know quite to the extent, but that makes sense.
It was actually shocking. We were both... I mean, like, the entire time, I think we were just staring at each other with our jaws on the floor, thinking, like, I can't believe he's just, like... literally just walking us right through the whole, like, every beat of the episode. We were like, is this really happening?
But it's, I mean, it's pretty common. Honestly, fun fact, the most legit stuff we've ever been on that we haven't made ourselves, as far as, like, network, has been Finding Bigfoot, which is crazy. And I always tell people, the reason you know it's real is they never found Bigfoot.
Yeah, people always give them crap about that.
They literally just dump you in the woods and say, go find him, and that's it.
Yeah.
And kindred spirits. Mm-hmm. Kindred spirits. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You guys have integrity, you know? So that's...
Yeah.
Try.
You know?
We're also very terrible actors. We are the worst actors.
Oh, jeez. It'd be bad.
People would just be like, what am I watching right now? This is not good.
Wow. Thank you for
Miguel?
That. That's... Yeah.
There you go. There's the hot goss.
That's pretty good.
Appreciate that.
Yeah,
wow.
we do appreciate the goss. I feel sustained by that.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. We can live another day. Yeah, that's amazing. Is seeing a ghost, like, falling in love, it happens when you least expect it?
That's actually a really legitimately good question, because I personally have only ever seen a full-formed apparition twice. And that's 20-something years of going out to the most haunted places in the world. And
And how many times have you been in love, though?
Only the one time.
Good answer.
Good job.
But I honestly, the first time it happened, I just thought I was seeing a person. Like, I 100% just thought, oh, that's an older lady. It was in a cemetery. My friends and I were investigating a cemetery. We were specifically looking for an area of the cemetery that we just couldn't find. And the people who were buried there were, it was German war graves. And we could not find it. We had been to the cemetery 3 or 4 times. It was 2:00 in the morning. And we saw this older lady. She was probably in her 80s. She had a shawl around her shoulders and she was in the cemetery. And when we saw her at first, we all were sort of like, oh, we don't want to interrupt her. Maybe she's grieving. Maybe she's going to someone's grave. And she actually kind of motioned for us. And we were like, oh, maybe something's wrong. And so we started to follow her. And she headed up this section of the cemetery we had never been to before. And by the time we got to that area, there was literally no one there. But she had led us directly to the spot that we had been looking for. And they were all there.
And I love a helpful ghost.
It was exactly. It was so. She was just like, "I got you. Don't worry." And like, but we legitimately thought it was a person, and we looked everywhere for her because we were worried that maybe she was lost or you know, like we were concerned that. But nope, there was literally no one there.
Wow.
And so yeah.
Did you try to figure out who that might be? Did you talk to anyone at the graveyard or like?
We did. We would go back and do a lot of EVP sessions and just kind of try to do research on the area. But all of the people who were buried there were men. So we were wondering if it wasn't someone's mother or someone's wife. Maybe that, you know, that it, for whatever reason, she's still kind of coming back to that area. We could never find anything conclusively, but it was always kind of a running theory. So we would come every once in a while and bring flowers and just sort of like remember her for, you know, who she was, even though we didn't really know who she was.
That's so sweet.
So it's more like a missed connection.
It was, exactly.
Kind of a meet cute.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Wow, love that. Yeah, because Emily and I have both never seen anything, like, you know. So we're just, that's part of our podcast, is that we're, that's our quest, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we do it mostly
intoxicated.
After, yeah, mostly after some drinks.
Often intoxicated.
Which, you know, altered may or may states. Not help. See? Yeah,
right? Altered states are a good thing, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not intoxicated. Maybe you want uppers, not downers.
That's really true.
That's a good tip. Thank you.
The reason that we started conducting these investigations while intoxicated is A, mm-hmm. because we do love alcohol and also, you know, feel that it makes us maybe more entertaining, or maybe just like loosens us up, especially if I'm a little nervous. Usually Lillian's not nervous, but our friend who is a medium was like, you lower your... what is it that you...
Frequency? Or, yeah.
Yeah, oh, you like yeah. lower your frequency and you might be more susceptible to...
I would argue she's probably right, mm-hmm. but if you want to look at it from a purely like new agey woo-woo perspective, if you lower your inhibitions that way, if you take like downers instead of uppers, they would say you're lowering your vibration, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you're going to have contact with lower vibrational entities.
Yes.
As
that
opposed
was also...
to like grandma.
Yeah.
Or, you know, an angel or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's also mm-hmm. crossed our minds, but yeah.
I think
we
that was mentioned
on,
and we
you know?
Said, but
yeah.
you know what? this martini begs to yeah, differ on this one.
Yeah, we're just comedians first, cocktail lovers second.
Drunk second.
I would say, yeah, ghost hunters maybe six or seven, but you know, it's there. It's definitely there.
Wives, mothers, daughters, you know, all that.
Yeah, proud mother. No. Not true. Not true. I want to ask you guys a little bit about haunted objects. I know I feel like you guys deal a lot with those and mm-hmm. have, I assume that's like the bulk of your traveling museum. I looked at the website a little bit. Looks spooky. can you just maybe briefly explain like how and why an object gets haunted? Just real primer stuff.
So there's three typical ways that we look at hauntings in general, whether an object or a place. Because, I mean, a place is just a big object, really.
Right. So true.
We look at it in three ways. We look at intentional haunting, intelligent haunting, and residual haunting.
Okay.
Residual haunting is like the classic, something terrible happened here and it mm-hmm. left an imprint.
Think like Gettysburg, yeah. like a large kind right. of... traumatic experience.
We call it like a dumb haunting sometimes because there's no intelligence. It just sort of does what it does.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really interact with it.
Right.
Okay. It'll occasionally kind of pop in, do its own thing, but there's no kind of, like you said, there's no real interaction.
It's just like a replay of something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's a million theories as to why that is. Psychic impression, stone tape theory. I mean, you could go down a million paths.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is it's just something has left a strong impression on mm-hmm. this place. I think it can also happen to people, too.
For sure.
I think it can happen to people, and I think it can happen to places. It can happen to stuff. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we see that with things that were part of, like, for example, Civil War artifacts, Civil War objects, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Things from asylums or things where there have been that massive concentration of kind of trauma. Usually, like you said, that tends to sort of cling to it as if it's kind of imbued, that energy is imbued into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a dumb haunting.
Yeah. A dumb haunting, yeah. Exactly.
Or a residual.
Or a residual.
Okay. All right, okay. Fine, okay. fine.
If you don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
sorry, Daughters of the Confederacy. if it's something that's interacting with you, that would be an intelligent haunting.
Yeah.
So that's like grandma comes back because you are going to sell her favorite earrings, and she keeps moving them around because she's like, I don't want you to sell these. These were important to me. Yada, yada.
Yeah,
you're having intelligent interactions, so maybe you can do an EVP session with it. Maybe you can rap on the wall, and then you get raps back.
Mm-hmm.
There's actual back and forth interaction. The third one, which you never hear anyone talk about, which I think is the bulk of the things that we experience, both when it comes to objects and when it comes to places, is what we call an intentional haunting. And it is a haunting that has been created by someone putting way too much thought and attention into something, typically negative thought and attention into something. We deal with this stuff all the time. So, like, people send us lots of dolls and porcelain clowns and stuff like this, things that'll never do anything to us.
Lots of spooky, incense holders and
from Hot Topic.
Yeah, things yeah. that basically they have their own sort of preconceived ideas around, and they've projected it into that object specifically.
So they have haunted themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think this happens in so many houses. It happens in places where people have had a bad experience and they can't stop thinking about it. And a really great example of this is, for example, let's talk about one of these TV shows that likes to make stories up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen so many places that we've known about that are just dead as a doornail. There's no haunting there whatsoever. It's featured on a big television show with some crazy story about a goat man or something that haunts the place. After that's been consumed by millions of people for 10 years of reruns, people go there and literally experience a goat man. They experience the ghost, the haunting, the scratches, all of that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Because the power of intention of all of these people has actually created a haunting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really to blame for most of the stuff that we run across.
Wow.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's our interesting.
Minds.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, when you think about it in terms of really digging into a lot of these locations and looking at actual tangible research, and you're finding, okay, well, this place, it's an old building for sure, weird stuff happened here, but you know, they'll claim 40,000 people died here, and you're not finding records of any of that. You're just not finding actual research that would you know, really build up why the activity's happening there. It's a great example, like you said, your mind, of how you're that many people putting that much intention into a space can cause that much activity, even though for the most part there really is no actual research to suggest that it should be as haunted as it actually is.
Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Collective that makes unconscious me, or whatever.
Right. That makes me think of the Maritime Hotel, which is a place that we went, and it was apparently, like, people were experiencing a lot of stuff in the 90s, and that was the time when supposedly a publicist planted a story about it being haunted to sort of drum up some kind of mythology around the place, and then it sort of died down. Also, people were doing a lot of drugs, and I know someone who personally experienced something there, and then I spoke to people that, you know, work there now, and they're like, no, nothing, really.
That's, yeah. I mean, if people had been paying more attention to it, it'd still be around. And, sure. And give it time. There'll be a TV show that comes in, and they will talk about it. But I think that's the frustrating thing about doing what we do is you've got people who are on one side or the other. So you have hardline skeptics who are like, well, that story's made up, so obviously the haunting's not real.
Mm.
That's not really true. You can have a real haunting. It just means that the background of it might not be real.
Mm-hmm.
But the right. haunting actually exists, and it's way more interesting to me that the background could be fake,
mm-hmm.
but people are still experiencing that. And when tons of people are experiencing that, it's very hard to deny. So there's something stranger going on.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just up here, not out here.
Right.
Right. And there's that nuance again that's not, mm-hmm. if you're just like, well, the history isn't true and therefore the haunting isn't true or whatever, it's all true.
Are you guys familiar with the Philip experiment? Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
Absolutely fascinating reading. There was a group of scientists, well, not scientists, they were spiritualists up in Canada, and they all decided they wanted to create a ghost. And so they came up with this guy who had a whole backstory and everything, and they sat down, and this group of scientists, I keep saying scientists.
Spiritualists.
I think a couple of them were scientists. They all sat down and started holding seances, and eventually the guy showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he would rap on the table. They would have communications with him. Psychics could come in and get information from him. That's fascinating to me, and it's way more interesting than the idea that the ghost is grandma or the devil. There's something weirder happening, and it shows the power that our minds have to actually influence the reality around us, which is probably the reason why we should stop listening to people who say that they're all dead people and demons.
Right.
Because it's going to not lead to a great place.
Yeah, that nothing good is going to be manifested from that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not high right now, honestly. holy shit, dude, I'd have to leave.
Yeah. Lillian just edges out of frame.
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. wow, that's so interesting. It makes just so much more sense to me. Like, that makes more sense to me than, yes, the yes or no, and it's like a demon all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. Right. Wow.
And we see it so much with objects specifically. Just, I mean, again, people will send us things and they've had experiences around these objects and they've documented experiences, paranormal experiences around these objects. And the second they come into our possession, the activity just stops. And it's really because that funnel isn't connected to that object anymore, that, and it's not right. manifesting around that person. So for the most part, Greg and I, when it comes to the objects, we really refer to ourselves, you know, it sounds kind of corny, but we just call ourselves caretakers, because more often what we're doing is we're giving someone a place to give their trauma away to. So right. we have a lot of objects that people have had absolutely horrible experiences with. And for them, the act of compartmentalizing it in their mind and giving it away to someone else really severs that trauma, that experience for them. So the activity stops around them. And by the time we have the object in our possession, we usually just kind of care for it at that point. And again, most of the time we don't have activity happen around it because we haven't had that trauma with the object specifically. Wow. It's not always. Sometimes we do get things that are bizarre, and we do document a lot of paranormal activity around it, but that's always very few compared to the amount of things that people just want to subconsciously give away.
Wow, that's which is, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like you, I don't know if you do like personal or just in your mind protections. Is that mm-hmm. something that you kind of do or you believe in or?
Sure. One of the things that, I mean, is because we have so many things at this point, and again, you know, people's traumas coming along with them. And like I said, you know, it is obviously a smaller percentage of the objects that actually are active. One of the things that I do basically is I clear the energy. I just kind of do like a general cleansing of our property at least once a week. And that's what we've noticed is if we let it kind of go, that it's as if the energy has time to kind of root in the space, and it can that's when stuff starts popping off. That's when we have, like, you know, we'll always have weird sounds and people will see things in our house, but it's when the really, you know, the icky stuff starts happening. So it's just a matter of kind of it's almost as if it's just a normal part of our, you know, routine at this point. It's
right.
clearing the energy out,
dust
not letting
the counter
anything get too
and exactly. clear the energy.
Yep. Don't let anything get too stagnant, because once it gets stagnant is when it can get gross.
And I think to add to that too is from a practical standpoint, mm-hmm. out of sight, out of mind really is a thing. So there are things that we lock up because they're problematic. They mm-hmm. they cause issues. So we lock them up, and it's almost more of a symbolic thing. Like, it's not, we don't have like a special case. Like, we've got cases that have been blessed by right. priests and things like that. But I think it really is more the symbolic action of closing a door and leaving that room alone. It does that thing where in your head, you know that that's done mm-hmm. for now until you open it back up. And I think that intention has a lot to do with taking care of these objects in a way that doesn't cause us problems, which we've been stuck at home for 6 months.
Right, yeah. right.
So people are like, what are your things doing? Are you experiencing more stuff?
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
motherfuckers, we're not paying attention to this stuff right now. Because we can't
go away.
We're trapped in here with them.
Yeah.
We're like, everyone's just respecting each other's space at this point in time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think that goes back to like what you're saying about the power of your own mind. I mean, we've done investigations where we've, you know, opened ourselves up to seeing spirits or whatever, having an experience. And then when we're like, okay, now we want to close the door on this, we physically go outside and we go, we're closing the door on this. We're closing whatever portal, whatever is mm-hmm. going on. And then we physically close a door and we're like, we all understand that what this means, right? Okay.
You're doing the same thing that a shaman might do. You're doing the same thing that a professional psychic might do. Mm-hmm. It's all different names for the same thing. Just closing yourself off, I think mentally is mm-hmm. the problem, because there's people who can't do that.
Yeah.
And you see it in a lot of cases, and it's really unhealthy because they won't stop thinking about the ghost. Mm. And the ghost won't go away
until they stop thinking
about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you can close that door and you're really good at just leaving it alone, you're doing an exorcism.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the nice thing that we've noticed specifically over the past 10 years or so, maybe a little bit less, is it seems as if more so now people are recognizing the importance of empowerment when it comes to this kind of thing. Because if you look back to like the Ed and Lorraine days, a lot of those people were, and maybe it was a thing, maybe it was a moment of the time, or maybe it was an example of the time, but it was the idea that they would always try to introduce someone to clear it away for you. So it was a sense of like not giving the empowerment back to people and letting them recognize like, no, you can fix this shit. You just have to do it yourself. You don't need to necessarily have a priest come in and do a cleansing. It's fine if that's something for you that will continue to establish your
if that's where you hold your power,
exactly,
is up there, absolutely do it.
Right.
But you can also do it yourself.
We've had people who are like, I've had three priests come to my house nothing happens. We're like, well, are you Catholic? And they're like, no. Of course it's like, not going to work.
Right.
Because that's not where your place of power is. So you have to figure out what that is. And that's usually what we end up doing with people, is just trying to help them figure out what that place of power looks like for them, and then giving them kind of a nudge to be empowered and to kind of move forward in that direction.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, I mean, it's nice because a majority of people go like, oh shit, yeah, this totally makes sense, and it doesn't seem that weird, and I'm actually feeling pretty good about it. And so normally what happens afterwards isn't a reoccurrence of the same activity, whereas if you were to just bring in someone who, you know, someone who's saying, I'll cleanse it for you, more often than not, you have the activity ramp right back up again, because that's, again, they've not anchored in that kind of sense of power being there.
Uh-huh. It just seems like there's such an emotional, like, level to all of this work, and there's so much, like, grief involved, sure, and, like, trauma, and it's, like, so interesting because that obviously requires such a specific kind of person to deal with it, and it's just, like, obviously, again, not to go back, but it's, like, the kind of people who just like bust down doors and yeah, aren't that right. Is not that person, you yeah. know?
No.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the struggles too with, you know, the like Kindred Spirits, the television show that we're on a lot, is really great because again, they do come to it from, they come to most of their investigations from a place of that empowerment and wanting to connect with the people
and
who
empathy.
Are experiencing and empathy. Exactly. But I think that's another kind of, you know, going back to that, the drama within that paranormal community, is there is a very large subset of people who really just want to be tough guys. And they, you know, they really don't, it doesn't matter about the fact that they're potentially communicating with someone that was once a living person. It's like that, there's something that happens where it just gets cut off. Because again, most of those people think they're demons.
Yeah. Well, and then the family in the house has a whole, yeah, extra level of trauma to deal with, because they've, I don't think it always happens, but there are a few sad cases where people who are really experiencing some terrible things invite these people into their homes because they think they're going to help them, and they're there for 3 days and all they do is make it way worse.
They stress everybody out.
They make it way worse because instead of going, here's how you deal with this problem yourselves, they say, only we can deal with this problem. And by the way, you guys have a fifth level demon here that's trying to eat your children.
Yeah.
You need to, like, literally heard it's people say, like, you have to bulldoze your house.
Oh my God.
It's so insensitive and destructive. And the problem is that goes out to millions of people, and then it self-perpetuates. And then you have a bunch of other people who haunt their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
scared.
Oh, I experienced the same weird thing they did on that TV show, so I must have a fifth level demon, and it just turns into chaos.
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all are
good,
like...
Good times.
Yeah. It's so much fun,
this
you guys.
It's a comedy podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Sounds bad, frankly.
And that's why we drink.
Okay. That's why we drink on the job. It's too hard.
It's too much.
Cool. So obviously we don't really know what we're doing. We try to be respectful. We're like learning.
Part of our brand, frankly.
It's part of our brand. You know,
yeah,
we do come from a place of empathy, though, I will say.
Yeah. Comedy is empathy, though.
It really is.
Like, think about it. The only way things are funny is if people can empathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so laughter is the best banishing ritual you could possibly have, by the way.
I've heard that, yeah.
It's the absolute best thing you could do. So if you're in a scary position, if you can laugh about
it
and laugh at what's happening, you're good.
Gone.
You're gold.
Phew, we're safe.
It changes
it.
Okay, we're very safe, because that's literally all we do.
You're good to go.
the ghosts are like, can you guys tone it down a little bit?
Yeah. Too much. It's a bit much. It's
are you
a bit much.
Do you always have to be on? Okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks. We were just wondering if you have any, like, basic advice, and then also, additionally, do you guys believe in, like, gear, and if so, what's one thing that maybe we should get if we wanted to?
Mm.
Okay.
Advice?
Advice.
I can do gear if you want to do advice.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think advice is to allow yourself to be as silly as you possibly can be. And I mean, I realize it's probably not a problem for you guys. For a lot of people, it is. Very self-serious investigators, they can't allow them to.
Lots of crossed arms.
Yes. Mm. There's a sense of, I mean, if really what's happening is, it is somehow connected to our minds, there's a sense of play involved. So don't be afraid to, like, lean into some of the goofier stuff. Try stuff. Hang out with the craziest people you can find. Not the stabby ones, but, like, the ones that maybe talk to angels and things like that.
Yeah, my favorite kind of people, yeah.
You'll experience so much more about the phenomena in all its forms if you hang out with the people on the fringes of those places that aren't quite as accepted. That's how you'll have an experience. The best experiences I've had personally in, like, the 25 years I've been doing this have been with the craziest people you can imagine. The people that I'm like, these guys are nuts. And then, of course, I hear
a
Bigfoot
howl,
like, you know, 10 feet away from me, and it scares the living shit out of me. Or I watch a friend get abducted by aliens. Like, crazy stuff like this. Only hanging out with the craziest, weirdest, funnest people I can find.
Interesting.
That, I think, is the best piece of advice I can give, is find those people, find the weirdos, and be weird
get
with
weird.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Be as weird as possible.
Yeah. I love that.
Looking at you, Leo.
Okay, yeah. You're set. You're set. I have to figure something out. Yeah.
I think as far as tech goes, one of the things that, I mean, we use it all the time, and it's fun and it's interesting because anyone can benefit from it. It's something that some friends of ours who are in Hellier with us, Carl and Connor, they created this method we all call the Estes method. And essentially it is a spirit box, so an SB7 spirit box.
Which, by the way, I hate these things.
Yeah,
you guys probably have seen them before.
They're loud and annoying. They just go... Yeah.
I think used that way...
There's a lot of...
They're junk.
Yeah, there's a lot
personally.
Of confirmation bias, especially when you've got a big room full of people using it. So the way that they figured out how to use this in a really interesting way is you have to have two people, and the idea is you take the spirit box and you take a pair of specific headphones, these headphones specifically.
They're Vic Firth drumming headphones.
They're not noise canceling, but they're noise isolating. So one person has the spirit box and plugs in to the spirit box using headphones and covering their eyes. So basically it's kind of, you're taking
like
them out
sensory
of...
Sensory deprivation.
Exactly, sensory deprivation. And they will not, because of the earphones, they will not be able to hear anything except the spirit box going... The other person then starts asking questions. And the questions that they're asking, you know, again, the idea is that the person who's isolated is not going to be able to hear any of the questions. So when you start getting responses and interactions, it's actually really fascinating. And we've been working with this method for years now at this point.
3 or 4 years at this point.
And it never ceases to amaze me. It's unbelievable. And it's so easy to do. And, like, anybody can do it. We've kind of...
You basically just turn somebody into a medium.
Yeah, we've
a
just...
A technologically assisted
exactly.
medium.
Cool.
And anybody can do it. And all you need is the equipment and obviously kind of someone there with you to ask the questions. But if you guys go out and investigate, it's a really fun and easy way to communicate. And again, it's the idea that, like, no matter what, you know that that person who's isolated cannot hear you. So the fact that if you're getting actual communication, if you're getting answers to your questions, it's pretty staggering when it happens. And it happens more often than not, which is crazy.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Gotta try it.
Okay. I have a very dumb question, which is, okay, so Bigfoot, ghost, demon, and goblin. Which character of Sex and the City are each of these?
Oh my god.
I have never watched Sex and the City. I can't participate.
I'm trying to think of who would be Carrie. All that I know is, like, the overly, the blonde lady. Who's the blonde
lady? Who's the slutty?
Again?
Which is the slutty cryptid? That's what I'm trying to.
Samantha. Who's Samantha?
Definitely the slutty cryptid.
The slutty cryptid? The slutty cryptids are aliens.
Aliens,
aliens
for
are
sure.
definitely the
They love
that. They have an anal fixation.
They love poking you and touching on you. They're a little creepy.
Yeah, they're all up in your holes all the time.
Totally, okay. Sam. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Classic Samantha behavior.
It's classic Samantha stuff. Yeah.
Lots of touching inappropriately. They love doing that.
That's great.
I can't wait till their Me Too moment comes, okay? Really? Can't come
truly.
Soon enough.
It's just about,
cancel cryptids,
And then I think maybe two more questions is, I would like to know what each of your scariest experiences have been. I personally get scared, and maybe at this point you're, not desensitized, but maybe you don't get scared, but maybe just an intense experience that you've had. And then I would love to know just what's next for you guys and what else you're working on.
Well, for the record, I still get scared all
the
time.
We get scared all the time.
I'm a big scaredy cat.
Anyone who says that they don't do this because they kind of like being scared. There's a lot of people who are like, you can only do this if you're helping people. No, it's a thrill ride.
It's super fun being scared.
That's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
You like being scared.
My scariest experiences, it happened actually with a large group of people. We were at a place in Ancaster. I'm from Canada, so Ancaster, Ontario. There's a place called the Hermitage, and it was at one point in time a really big mansion that burned down a few times, and the family eventually kind of just left it, and it became a historical site. So you got to walk for like a mile into the woods, and it's really just kind of the ruins of what used to be a really old mansion. And it's sort of like a fun park that a lot of people will go to, but there's a lot of history in that area specifically and with the house. And a lot of people have had experiences with some of the previous family members who believe is the idea that they've never really left the property. So way, way back in the day, back in the early 2000s, my friends and I, we transitioned from doing ghost hunting just locally in our area to having a Canadian TV show that was all about ghost hunting.
Girly ghost hunters.
Ghost hunters. Yeah, we would go all across Ontario and investigate the paranormal. And the Hermitage was one of the places we got to go to, which we were all very excited about, thinking that it was going to be a spooky fun time, and it was not it was spooky, but it was not a fun time. So again, this land specifically, again, and it's another really bad paranormal trope that usually pops up when people haven't done proper research. But normally what ends up happening is if something weird's happening on land, it's always a Native American burial site, or and it usually just means I've not actually done any research. This is just what I'm saying that it is. So again, that was another thing that had been attached to this land without really much research whatsoever. So we're there investigating. Our guards are way down because we're just thinking nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be really boring. And the crew was actually filming us at one point late into the night, and we're out investigating. And I see something in the woods that's probably about 30 to 50 feet away from where I'm standing. And to me, it looks like and it sounds insane, but it looks like an 8-foot-tall human shape with really long arms and legs looking out of the woods. And as I kind of, and again, it's the shape, the silhouette, and this inside of the silhouette is like static. It looks like a static from a TV, like it's sparkly kind of static. And it steps out of the woods. It starts to walk towards us. And I start freaking out, and my friends then turn and see it at the same time, and they start freaking out. And then the crew turns around and sees it, and they start freaking out.
Wow.
And as we're all kind of in this state of chaos, two more come out of the woods from either side of us.
Fuck.
So now there's three of them. And had this not happened to like 7 or 8 people all at the same time, to this day, I would have been like, I was hallucinating. Like, this was not real. But it had a very animalistic body kind of posture, and it seemed as if these things were trying to herd us off the property. They were really aggressive, kind of like moving towards us and then moving back, and really just a sense of trying to push us off the property. And the camera guy was holding his camera, and he could see them through the viewfinder. But when they played the footage back, there was literally nothing there.
Wow.
And so we were able to document 7 or 8 people having the same experience, but the physically not able to actually see it on camera, which really sucked. But it was fascinating that, people, like our audio woman, was skeptical. She didn't believe in it. She spent the whole season going like, this is total bullshit. You guys don't, like, nothing is happening. And she was looking directly at this thing.
Wow.
And so as we started to retreat and move away from the area where we had been heading, it was as if they were like, okay, good. And then they literally just moved right back into the woods and we didn't see them. I mean, we literally all left. Instantly. Yeah. We were like, this is done. Like, we're gone. But that was the second time that I had ever seen kind of any sort of full-bodied apparition. Wow. And it, whatever it was, we still to this day don't really know what it is. Yeah. What it, or what it was.
That was pretty scary. So scary.
It's pretty spooky.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good. I'll give you the short version. There's a old church near where I grew up where it was like the first time we ever experienced something that I would call negative. Don't know why. Have ideas. We're a bunch of really stupid kids. And we tried to perform an exorcism on this place ourselves.
Like a bunch of 16-year-olds.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
It'll be fine.
We literally had water guns that we would fill with holy water.
Holy water, yeah.
And we would take them in. We had, like, just tons of kosher salt. And we would read exorcisms we printed off the internet. And after doing this stuff, somebody got slammed up against the wall in the place. A book literally levitated and flew past our heads. Never been able to figure that one out.
Wow.
Some of the EVP recordings we've gotten there are just straight up disturbing. A lot of experiences have happened in this place. But it was really the stuff that happened after we tried to do the exorcism that's never really gone away. And so there's this weird thing where every 3 years, something weird will happen. Typically, it's like the nails are one thing. We'll find nails all over the place on top of...
Weird rusted nails.
Rusted nails on top of... Like, I found them on top of this computer before. I'm out of the 3 year cycle right now. So that stuff hasn't happened.
They'll be like one nailed in my shoe
into
once.
In the shoe,
yeah.
In our pockets, nailed into the doorway
they
of our
manifest.
Home. We'll turn on one of the ceiling fans and rusty nails will come down.
What?
Weird stuff like that. Fuck. But what started all of this was not too long after all that stuff went down. Whole bunch of people in our little group sort of just fell off because, like, some of them got sick, some of them got in car accidents. The person who was the most skeptical started watching things move around his room. Weird stuff like that. One night, I was asleep. I had just moved out to Seattle from Pennsylvania, and I was asleep in the room, and I woke up because I sensed, you know, you can just tell somebody staring at you, and I could feel something staring at me, and I looked over, and there were three humanoid figures standing in the corner of the room, almost like they came out of the shadow of the room. One of them was very tall, and then there were two small ones on either side of it. I don't tell this story very often. Two of them on the side. And they were sort of like hunched over. They had no, you could tell that they were, like, the arms were too thin. The bodies were too thin. The heads were long. The closest I would say is they kind of look like the stereotypical idea of a gray alien, but just a shadow. I couldn't see anything past the shadow. No eyes, no features, nothing like that. I knew I wasn't dreaming because I never fell back asleep, and I could see the light break through their legs from the doorway. And I heard like what sounded like hundreds of voices in my head, male, female, old, young, high, low pitch, just a chorus of these voices saying a particular phrase that I won't repeat until I responded. I like couldn't move. It was very much like a
paralysis.
Sleep paralysis feeling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't move, and I finally could like talk, and I repeated the phrase to them, and they went back into the shadow. And I never went back to sleep.
Oh, my God.
And shit just got worse after that.
Oh, my God.
So that one is the scariest.
That's really ongoing. Scary.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you tell us, you obviously don't have to say what the phrase is, but can you give us an idea of, like, you know, the words? Are they aggressive?
Prophetic.
Are they a question?
Prophetic.
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 Okay.
Yeah. To the point where, like, the part of the reason I don't really... I've said it a few times, and there were some other things to it, but it's very much that idea where I don't want to say it too much because I don't want to turn it into a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah, don't give it power.
Right, yeah, right.
But anyway, that's the...
Wow. Those are both really scary.
Those are very scary.
Emily, no exorcisms, Lillian. Okay? Don't do it.
We'll see. Yeah. I can't make any promises.
All right. That's
I don't know what I might do if I'm hopped up or if I'm dumbed down. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
I can send you one of the water guns if you want to use it.
That would be great. I would prefer to use the one that you used because it'll be better.
Spray-painted silver. It's silver. And its nickname is Father Marin.
Wow. That's incredible. Okay,
yes. I wouldn't use
any. The little ones were the altar boys.
Wow, to be a Catholic kid, you know, in those days. Incredible.
Dad was a Baptist minister.
Wow, that's
so
a lot.
So you can imagine, that's he really lot. Enjoys yeah. my
that,
chosen
yeah,
food.
Yeah, that's why I have a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is,
holidays,
you know,
yeah.
fraught.
It's great.
Yeah,
great.
That's a lot of fun. Cool.
Great, so what's up next for you guys?
Well, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
Everything keeps getting canceled.
Right.
I think, you know, we're working on the third season of Hellier. That's something that is sort of going on in the background. I think before people see that, we're working on a documentary project with our friend Carl Pfeiffer, the same guy who directed Hellier. And it's about one of the objects in the collection that we called the Crone. That we actually had to take back to the Catskills, and then we had 100
right
witches. From you're in the Catskills right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, there's
it's
some spooky,
spooky
stuff
there.
But you know that already.
Yeah,
it's a spooky place.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah.
Well, somewhere out there in the Catskills
is a very haunted object.
Is an effigy that has been cleansed and buried
in the woods
in
the
forests
middle of nowhere.
Out there.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's a forthcoming documentary.
That's coming out.
Cool.
We're going to go try and shoot some more stuff. Hopefully, socially distanced shoot in a month or so.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. That's so exciting.
That's very exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to see that. Great. And people can watch your show, Hellier. It's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And check out
Or they can go to, is it Hellier.tv?
Hellier.tv.
There we go.
If they want to, there's other options.
I mean, I know everywhere.
Prime isn't in Canada and stuff like that. So it's if they want to watch it, we made it as freely available as possible. You can go to YouTube and see the whole thing there.
Cool.
Two seasons of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if people are curious about the work that we do with the museum, they can go to paramuseum.com. And there's all kinds of write-ups on some of the artifacts we've been sent and links to all kinds of fun stuff.
Lots of weird stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I can't
thank
wait
you guys
to
so much. This
see
is great.
Some of those objects, hopefully in person one day.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm gonna go well, start digging in my backyard, see if I can't find that crone.
Yeah,
right
don't
now.
Do it. Don't do it.
It's gotta be somewhere.
She's
around
out there
here.
Somewhere.
She's out there somewhere. There's a weird like cult of people who are trying to find it.
Yeah.
And dig it up.
No.
And reactivate it.
They will never find it.
Okay, good.
Actual
so
emails
creepy.
From people who are saying we worship this thing and
oh my God.
We
Shut
want to reactivate
up.
It.
No. Is that
it's bizarre.
Part of the documentary?
It wasn't until
now,
that
now
happened. After people found out that we returned it, there were a whole group of people who are launching expeditions to try
Jesus.
And go find it.
Great. Well, thank you so much. This was such a great, fun interview.
This was super great. Thank you
for
having
so
us. This is super fun.
Yeah,
we
it was our
a
pleasure.
Lot.
And hopefully one day we'll be able to interact in person. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could
whenever,
happen.
Yeah. Whenever, if we survive the end of the world,
we'll,
maybe we can take you somewhere where you'll experience something.
Yeah. Oh my God, the dream.
Don't
the
threaten
dream.
Me with a good time because I'll cure this virus right now. I've been waiting
for
the right motivation.
All right, get to it.
We'll make it happen. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get real weird.
Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. Our original artwork is by Paco Park, and our theme song is by LP. Follow us on Instagram, at Ghost to Show You. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mom about it. She might like it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.